Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Avery. Hi, Tracy. Welcome to What You Next podcast.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
So good to have you both here. So let's start with Avery first. Tell us a little bit about yourself and then Tracy.
Well, I am a coffee addict, as we were discussing before record was pushed. Also addicted to Oreo cookies. There is a reason why I cannot have any in my house, because I will eat the whole bag, and it's bad. I write rom-coms. I really, really enjoy it and love it. I have 5 dogs, 1 cat, 3 kids, 1 husband, and I live in the burbs. So there you go.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of animals.
It is. I know. I have a very either a very tolerant husband or somebody who just like he reaches his limit on how many times he can hear me say, but I'm already in love with the puppy. And so there you go. It works out.
Oh my gosh. So Tracy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am Tracy Wolf, and I write young adult and contemporary romance and some other stuff as well, but mostly that right now. And I'm not an Oreo junkie. I am a makeup junkie. Ooh. I have a problem. I have a big problem, whether it's lipstick or eyeshadow palettes or skincare. Sephora and I are on a,
there's a very sale.
Basis. Yeah, I was just going to say.
There's a sale for Sephora.
So I know. I was just shopping on it like literally 10 minutes ago. I was literally just there. I'm like, oh, it's time to stop and go do the podcast now. Yeah. And left my basket because I was not done yet. What else? I am the mom, the single mom of 3 boys. 3 very big boys who are now much taller than I am and continuously pat me on the head and tell me that I'm small, and I am 5'8", so I've never considered myself small until I stood next to my giants. I am also the mom to 3 dogs, which I never thought would happen. I've always been kind of a 1, maybe 2 dog at a time girl. But my boys talked me into not splitting up this pair of, really tiny baby Yorkies that we they are so cute. And so now we have 2 Yorkies, and we have a Welshie, and we have a fish. And that is all the animals in my house. So
how many animals are between the 2 of you?
I've got 4.
8 dogs. 8 dogs between the 2 of us. That should be all the crazy you need to hear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also live in the burbs. And while my house does not at this exact moment have any HOA violations, that is not to say that we don't regularly have them, because we have too many cars and we're not allowed to park in the street. And so I had great fun making fun of the HOA in back in the burbs. But we are currently under demolition because I'm finally making my living room my office. And in the course of that, my partner and I have an injured shoulder, that's not me, and a broken toe, which is me. So I am not to be allowed to demo anything. But.
Oh, no. So I got a question about makeup and beauty products. What is your holy grail product? What is the one product that you must have always? And it's like, you can't look at it, you know.
That depends what you're talking about. If you're talking about skincare, Ole Henriksen's Vitamin C Truth Serum. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I like slather myself in that, and it's like my holy grail like skincare product. Everything else I'm always willing to try and shake things up, but that never ever changes. I've been using it for like 4 years, and I have like 3 bottles in reserve in case something happens to the other,
just in case they whatever. Change the formula.
And an eye palette, it's actually a peach one from Too Faced. I have like all kinds of like fancy Natasha Denona ones, all that. But this one Too Faced, in fact, I'm wearing it today. Peach like palette it. Just has like my, is like my color, and I wear it like 80% of the time. And even though I keep buying more eye palettes.
Thank you for indulging me with that question.
You're welcome.
Well, and I have finally found it after searching and searching and searching, because I have rosacea. Mm-hmm. It makes a sensitive skin red reducing moisturizer. And it is the best thing that I have ever found. So yeah, that's my holy grail. I like buy that in bulk, I swear to God.
Who is the, who's, what brand is it?
It's called It, I-T.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're like red reducing, extra moisturizing, whatever it is. It is the best. I love it.
Oh my gosh. I need to buy that. So that one I'm getting for sure.
I know. I'm like, I need that.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. So let's see. How did you two meet, actually? So let's talk about that. You know,
well, let's see. I stalked her for a really long time, and I showed up at her house crying with flowers and
flamingos.
Yeah. And flamingos. Yeah, no, we actually met because our publisher, Entangled, had some of the authors go to New York to meet some of the Macmillan folks. And it was really, really neat. We got to tour the office and stuff like that, but we all stayed in this house in New Jersey. And I think that's the first time Tracy and I had ever met. We may have like waved at each other at like a convention or something like that prior to that, but I don't think we ever got to really sit down and talk.
Yeah, that was definitely the first time. And I had to come in a day late because I can't remember. I had something work-wise at that time. I think I was still teaching and I think I couldn't get out. I don't remember. But anyway, I had to come in a day late and they were all there and they had this whole big like press junket thing set up. And I made an entrance by coming in the front door and tripping over the little lip in the front door and falling flat on my face and not telling anybody at the time because I landed on my laptop bag, but I broke two ribs. And I didn't tell anybody. Like I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know exactly what was wrong. And of course, I was on the fourth floor, right?
Yeah, there were a million stairs. There were a million stairs.
So I'm climbing up all the stairs with these broken ribs in my bag, and for 3 days. But yes, I didn't. I'm the person who like breaks ribs and never tells anybody. Oh, Liz God. Just found out. Our editor just found out like a couple months ago. I don't know how it had come up, and she was like, "Seriously?" I'm like, "Well, everybody was good. I didn't want to bother anybody."
Tracy, young lady.
Yeah, I got home, and my doctor was like, "You've been just walking around New York with these broken." I'm like,
"Yeah, because that was the other thing. We did a lot of walking, and we did a lot of going around, and a lot of like." Put on your work face and all of that stuff during that too. So, oh, luckily there was wine.
Yes.
That helped.
Was it
wine and Tylenol?
Was it summertime in New York or was it like a nicer weather time? Like it wasn't miserable. Like, you know,
it was fall. It was,
oh, yeah, it was fall. Okay. So it was fall. So it was really nice.
Yeah. It was the fall like before miserable. COVID.
Yeah, it's not miserable, 100 degree weather. I used to live in New York, so I'm like lower. Like that would be the worst.
Yeah, it was not July. Smell the pee in the street time.
Yeah.
It was not that.
I was there over July 4th weekend, actually a couple months before we met, and it was hot and humid and miserable, and you couldn't walk. And I don't understand why I'm from Texas, where it's hot and humid, but we believe in air conditioning. And I'm always like, I don't understand. I love New York, but like. Why do you people not believe in ice or air conditioning? Like these are the two things like in the South, this is what we live with. I mean, this is how we live all the time. And, but I was going to say the really cool thing. Have you ever been in New York on a holiday, Avery? Or Laura?
Yeah, we have made sort of a habit of going because my husband's from New Jersey. So we will go up after Christmas, leave the kids with grandparents. And we go into the city and spend around New Year's
We went on July 4th. I was there and we were right up like very close to the UN. And so anyway, I felt like such a privilege to be there because, you know, the day before 5:30 hit, the city comes alive, all that. we woke up on July 4th and looked out. There was nobody there. Like,
yes,
nobody. Yeah. And I'm like, the city was empty. And we got up and then we went into the village and we found like nothing was even open. And we found a Starbucks.
Oh, wow.
And we watched. We got to watch New Yorkers just walk down the street with their dogs in the middle of the street. It was like the coolest thing I'd ever done. I was like, I didn't even know New York could be this quiet.
Yeah.
Around 1 o'clock, it really kind of started to bustle.
Yeah. So basically, the city closes. Like most of the people in the city, I live in New York for 14 years. So I can tell you Memorial Day, Labor Day, 4th of July, like everyone leaves, goes to the beach or goes to Hampton.
Yeah.
And so the city's empty and you can get places to go to brunch. You can go get
restaurants. Yeah, we were just it was amazing. There was like, we were literally the only two people on the street at one point. I was like, I don't understand what's happening here. I mean, I love it. This is really cool because you never get to see the city like that. And it was just feeling. And everybody was so relaxed. Everybody who was out was just so relaxed. Like you could just tell they were all taking a vacation day. It was really cool.
Yes.
I'm a little jealous.
Yeah. Just go to New York at like Memorial Day weekend or like 4th of July or Labor Day. Like those are the major holidays that people just leave the city because it's too hot. Like, what are you going to do? Like you may not have AC. You're like, I'm just stuck in a vacation in a hot place. So. I love this. It was hot.
We walked the High Line early in the morning and that was lovely, but it was hot. Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's talk about like, what was your romance journey? Like you both have written some romance and like, were you romance readers before writing romance or was it, which one came first, the writing or the reading?
Oh. No, I think you have to be a reader before you write romance. You know what I mean? I think like so many of us just kind of fall in love with the genre as readers. I mean, I know that's what happened to me. I think we talked about this last night, right, Avery? And the fact that I started reading romance really early because I had gone through everything in the YA and classic section. And so my mom started me on romance novels in when I was in junior high. And I just fell in love with the genre then. And I mean, I've read a lot of things. I was a literature professor and a writing professor. You know, so I've, you know, going through my degrees, I've read a lot of literature, but I always come back to romance novels. So yeah, no, definitely a reader before a writer.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think romance for me has been part of my entire life. So yeah, for sure. And I started writing, not unusual for folks in this genre, because I knew the book that I wanted to read and I could not find said book. So yeah, so that's kind of what prompted me to start my first book. It had never, ever, ever even been anything I'd thought about. So I'm an awesome reader. So I was totally okay there. It's just I couldn't find what I wanted. And that's what prompted me to start writing romance.
I love this. I love you both like found it, you know, discovered the genre, you know, and then created stories for us to dive into, you know. Like
we
like,
well, oh. I still dive in quite regularly. So yeah.
So let's chat about Back in the Burbs. So let's do the elevator pitch first. And then let's go down the rabbit hole of the Back in the Burbs. So.
Okay, who wants to do the elevator pitch?
You do the elevator pitch.
I knew you were going to say that. I stuck you with it last night. Avery and I have many things in common, including the fact that we're both really terrible at the elevator pitch for our own books. I mean, I can pitch anybody else's book, but I'm terrible about pitching my own. So. Yeah. Okay, Back in the Burbs is the story of Mallory, a woman in her mid-30s whose life has completely fallen in around her. Like she's a hot mess and her life is a hot mess and she's not that kind of person. So it kind of caught her unawares and she's kind of like, how did I get here? I who always had, you know, had my life planned, you know? And so she has to put herself back together at some point. And her Aunt Maggie leaves her a house in the burbs. And it turns out, and because she has nowhere else to live and no job and no marriage at that point, she decides, well, she's going to move into Aunt Maggie's house, only to find out that it is as big of a mess as her life. And as she puts Aunt Maggie's house back to some kind of order and gets it out of HOA violation land, she starts to find some kind of center and a way to rebuild her own life as well. And there's also
a couple. That was really good. That was really, really good. You should have written that down.
Yeah, it'll never happen again.
I'll record it.
It'll never be said the same way again. But no. That was really good.
Oh, well, see, I would read that book.
That book was good. So it's marketed as women's fiction because it's centered on Mallory's mm-hmm. story. But there's romance in there. So for rom-com fans, it's the best way to describe it to my friends who have read it, and I myself read it, is like, it's a rom-com. It's a women's fiction, but it's a rom-com, you know, like.
I think it would be definitely fit in the rom-com if you use the movie definition.
Yes, that's the definition. Yes.
If you use the romance rom-com definition, it does not.
Yeah,
but if you use the movie definition, definitely, like, you know, Sweet Home Alabama, you know, all of those types of, sorry, yeah, that's one of my favorites. So that immediately pops in my head. But yeah, where it is that woman's story and there's romance to it too, but she's also, it's about her and her development.
And her journey.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's like the movie definition. Like, that's probably where I think about rom-coms, because I feel like rom-coms get like, a lot of romance gets called rom-coms and you're like, but this is not, it's not funny, you know, it's not laugh out loud. And there's like all this stuff, like, you know, tragedy that creates comedy, you know, like that feels yeah. like, you know, and that's where it just feels like, it just reminds me of like, it should be made in a movie. That's what it comes down to.
We say yes.
So what's the process like to write? Like, cause you're writing one story, like you're both co-writing, so how did you match? Did you plot it out? Did you pick scenes to write? What was the process like for that?
All of the above. And in fact, as we are planning the next book, mm-hmm. you know, we've already kind of got, you know, we worked out and said, okay, well, here's what worked well last time, here's what we can use, and yes, and create a better process, you know, coming up. So that'll make it even more fun. But yeah, I mean, we brainstorm together, figure it out, work out scenes and stuff like that. And then because it is just one POV, you definitely don't, it can cause a lot of problems if you go completely left of field. So it can mess some things up. So yeah, so we plot out the scenes and things. We're planning to plot out scenes and things like that. And then we go through and we pick. And what's nice about Tracy and I is that even though our voices mix really well together, I think we both have different strengths mm-hmm. as writers. Tracy is amazing at writing these emotional scenes that make you cry and punch you in the face, while also being quite funny and great at writing relatable heroines. And so that really fits well, because I think writing really emotional, rip your heart out, leave your chest gaping open, is not a strength of mine. So it, you know, it works out, I think, in that way really, really well together.
But Avery always, no matter like how I write a scene, or even if I think like I've brought the comedy to the scene, I will always say, I am the first one to say, Avery will always like just take whatever I did that I, you know, thought, well, this is my attempt at humor, what can you do with it? And she will amp it up like 300 times. And it's just till it's, you know, laugh till you cry, you know?
Yeah. So our strengths work really well together, I think.
Yeah. That's really good. I love the idea. Like, you were able to, and were you at the time surprised by the other person's writing? Like, you wrote a scene, you're like, Oh, I did not expect it this way.
Yes. Well, in fact, there were many texts that I sent and I'm like, oh my God. I think any scene with Carl, definitely between the two of us, I think we were both like, oh my God, what an asshole. Oh yeah, hold my beer. You know, so
you thought you made him an asshole.
Yeah. No, Carl is the biggest asshole. Yeah. So yeah, I think I was definitely like, yes. And also sending cursing emails because she made me cry. So yeah.
But that's the whole point. It's women's fiction. You're supposed to take it an emotional journey. Yeah. Like, you're supposed to break us down and then pull us back together.
There you go. We're like
kind of like what we did to Mallory.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Pretty much. You just have to do it, you know, so then the reader can be like, okay, like, is she going to get a happy ending? Is she going to get a happy ending? You know, and then she will get a happy ending.
Yeah, so. I think we're both two romance writers at heart to not give somebody a happy ending. I mean, that would make me, like, that would hurt.
Yeah, that's why it's like rom-com women's fiction, right?
Yeah.
Because the sad ending, like, that's not my thing. I mean, I understand the legitimacy of it. I understand why they exist. I can even enjoy reading some of them. And I don't want to do that. I love letting things work out in the end. I love giving my readers that assurance, you know? So yeah, no, we're way too romantic.
I think even as cynical as, even as cynical as some of us romance writers are, I mean, there are definitely Pollyannas amongst us, but I think a lot of romance writers are very cynical and control freaks on top of that. But it's really, I think.
Ouch, Avery, you weren't going to tell anybody that about me.
I know, I lied. but the, despite the us being a rather cynical bunch, I think underneath the layers, we're all optimists. To a certain extent, some more than others.
Well, right, and aren't so all cynics just optimists who've been disappointed one time too many?
Probably, yes. And so that's what writing romance does, is it gives you that ability to let that optimist side of you win. So that's, it's, yeah. I like reading books that will rip your heart out. I just don't want to write them and leave you sad at the end. I don't want to leave anybody sad at the end.
No, this book reminded me of the books that I read in 2000 and 2005 were like the Jane Greens, the Bridget Jones's Diaries. They were like, you're like,
I'll take that.
Yeah, they were like chick lit. They were like funny. But at the same time, like it was about the heroine's journey, about her life. And there was like, there's always a love interest, but it's not the main focus. So, like it's her journey. And that's where it's like, it refreshed back to those books and I was like, I've cherished so much because I didn't read romance until like 2016. So those were my jam, like growing up. I was like, this is what I'm looking for. And this is the kind of life I want to live. Like, you know, my life is broken apart. There's going to be a hot mess and I'm just going to put it back together. You know,
it's going to work out.
Isn't that the journey we want for women too? I mean, romance and love is a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. And, having a partner that you can count on and that you can trust and can enrich your life is an amazing thing, but we haven't fought all these years for that to be the only thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think being able to show women, I mean, even though Mallory is a mess at the beginning, or her life kind of took a lot of turns she wasn't expecting, you know, I think being able to show women that it's okay to want to have it all. It's okay to also think of yourself, you know? I mean, that's a problem I've always had in my life is, you know, I've never been very good at that. Been very good at choosing me or whatever. Our editor calls this book therapy, by the way. It's something that I strive to do in my YA work too, right? Mm-hmm. This idea that it's okay to want things for you and it's okay to go after those things. And yes, hopefully you find love along the way and hopefully it's this great relationship, but it's not the be all end all of who you are either. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really a healthy message for women's fiction and for romance for that matter. And certainly for YA as well. You know, women are a lot and one of our great gifts is that we can juggle a lot of things, which means we can have a career and we can have a family and we can have friends and we can have all of these things. And that's good. And it's healthy.
Yeah. I think what it does is like, it reflected for me, it bounced back to my own experience where I was like, I actually had a messy, my 20s were messy, were really messy. And then my 30s were about healing and recovering and trying to step outside of the comfort zone. And so that heroine's journey was like so called for it. It was like, you know, there's the messiness, but there's also the sense of like, you got to figure out who you are. You got to take care of you. You got to figure out like what works for you and like trying stepping outside of that comfort zone and trying to do different things. And yes, love will be there, but it's not the main focus. Like there's the messy, the healing from the messiness, you know,
and that, well, or even being able to accept your own messiness,
yeah,
you know, and saying, okay, this is my messy and I can improve this. And these are the ways I want to improve it, but nobody's perfect. So it's okay that I'm a mess. And I think that's one of the things that Mallory had to learn within the book as well, is sort of to embrace the fact that she has both strengths and weaknesses, you know, just like the rest of us. And I think
you can't plan everything. Sometimes things are out of your control, and that's okay, because that's just what life is sometimes.
Most of the time,
right?
Yeah.
When you're 21, you think everything is within your control. By the time you're our age, we're like, I'm lucky if I can control what time I get up in the morning.
Yeah.
Really lucky if I can control that.
Yeah. I agree in so many levels. So what are you working next? You hint you're going to write another book together. Is that the plan?
It is.
Ooh, yes.
So that is the plan. We're working out details and plots and processes and all that good stuff. But yeah, that's definitely the plan. So that's good. So if you enjoyed Huckleberry Hills, you know, you'll get to come back for another visit. With a whole, you know, additional set of characters and on top of the ones you already love. So, yeah.
And so what are you each working on, separate projects or separate from the co-authoring?
Yeah.
What are you working
on? Go ahead.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you go.
Oh, you want me to go? Okay. Yeah. I have a cover reveal coming up. I've got a book called Mama's Boy. It is a straight rom-com and hot rom-com, they like to call them, because like the they time. Had to dial back our sex scenes for Back in the Burbs. I know, we were sad face. But yeah, so Mama's Boy is coming out in June. And so there will be three books in this series. It's called the Last Man Standing series. It's three cousins and they make a bet to be the last man standing. Spoiler, they all lose the bet. Okay, it's romance. You know that's going to happen. So Mama's Boy is the first one to come out. That'll be out in June. And then Neanderthal will be out in August. And Mansplainer will be out in October. So so it'll be really fun.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And I love that you put Mansplainer in the title.
I know, right?
Well, we had a lot of fun playing with some of the societal expectations for women with the Hardigan series. We had Butterface and Muffin Top and Tomboy. And then really wanted to kind of look at some of the negative stereotypes of men in these. So hence, you know, Mama's Boy, Neanderthal, Mansplainer. And so it's fun. So those are coming up for me and all this year. So yay.
I love this. Yes.
All right, Tracy.
And Bill. For me, really, like Avery's got, except I think by the time you add the word count of all of those together, we'll end up, this is what we laugh about, right? Yeah. Avery writes short, I write long. You add those three together, we'll end up with my next book.
Yeah, right? Pretty much. Yeah, it's not just a book. It's also a doorstop.
I always say it's not just a book, it's a weapon. And I go. Say that. And then the other day, I have three boys, like I said, and one of my boys, they were all in my room, and I have some copies over here for where I do my, you know, when I do these things. And one of them got so annoyed, he picked up one of them and was like coming after one of the others. I'm like, no, my God, someone's going to die. put it down. My next book is the fourth book in the Crave Young Adult Vampire series. And it is called Court, and it will be out in September. I am writing that right now. And other than that, there will be, I'm not allowed to talk yet, but we have some announcements coming up very soon. So look for those. We are very excited.
She's sneaky, isn't she? She doesn't give it up.
It's not that I'm sneaky. It's that I'm really afraid of our editor. She is wonderful. And I love her so much. I love her more than anything. And yet every time, like, she watches me do a live, I get a phone call.
Saying, hey, big mouth.
Yes, Exactly.
So you've got to stop answering your phone after the lives. Just let the phone die. Oh, yeah. It was out of charge. I missed that.
She forgot about it. So we can move on.
Anyway. I'm sorry, it's been a long day.
Okay. So let's check the book recommendation. Since you both are readers, what has been a book that you can't stop thinking about that you recommend? Can be backlist, can be meet front list. It doesn't matter. It's just a book that you feel comfortable enough to recommend to our listeners.
My favorite book that I've read recently, that I'm currently obsessed with, is The Wife Upstairs by Rachel Hawkins. Oh my God, that was such a good page turner. Mm-hmm. It was so good. I loved that book really, really hard. So I definitely would recommend that. And then I'm trying to think what else I've been reading. I have been downloading quite a bit. But the next book on my to read shelf is, I'm actually looking at it right now, is The Final Revival of Opal and Nev by Donnie Walton. And that's more of a lit book, but I'm really excited about that one. But there have been just a ton of really good books that have come out that I'm, my TBR is always growing, you know, it's just the way of us.
Yes, it is. It is. How about you, Tracy?
For me, and I've actually recommended this several times over the last several months because I read it several months ago, but I'm a huge Nalini Singh fan. Mm-hmm. Like I fell in love with her Side Changeling series. I think I picked it up when she had just come out with the second book. So I've been a fan for a really long time. And I also just love her as a person. She's an amazing woman, but she just did her first foray into romantic suspense. Mm-hmm. And it's called A Madness of Sunshine. And it was so good. Like, oh my gosh. I mean, and really like had a romance central to the story. Also, one woman's journey, also a really good mystery. Like it's set in the outback of New Zealand, which is where she's from, but that was really cool too. Like I loved everything about it. So that book, and then totally non-romance, non-YA, non-anything, something that I just picked up and read and really, really loved was Generation Friends. And I can't think of the name of the author now. It's a purple book, but
in the show notes. So
it's like, you know, we love the Friends show in my house, and my middle son is obsessed with it. In fact, for his birth, when they took it off Netflix for his birthday, I gifted him all the seasons, and it kind of is one of those things that just kind of runs in the background while he's doing whatever. And he loves it. And anyway, it was really fun. The part I loved the most was they have a whole section on the Friends writer room. Mm-hmm. And what was going on there, but like, also it takes you through, when they were, you know, first came up with the idea, and they came up with it driving down like Melrose Avenue in the middle of the night, and there was a coffee shop, and they were missing their friends in New York because they used to hang out in coffee shops in New York. And then it takes you through casting and how like all of the casting ended up very different than how they had originally planned it. David Schwimmer being like the only one that was like, that was who they wanted. Originally, Jennifer Aniston was going to be Monica, or no. Yeah. Or Courtney Cox. Yeah. Courtney Cox was going to be Rachel.
Can't imagine.
It's like, what? How could that even work? Like, I don't even understand what is happening here. Right. And then she came in and auditioned, and they were convinced that they were going to put her as Rachel. And then she came in and was like, no, let me read for Monica. I think I've got Monica. And like just how like, and how the central romance was actually supposed to be Joey and Monica and not Ross and Rachel, like all these things. And I'm just like, it was a really interesting book. I really enjoyed it.
Oh my gosh. I got to pick that one up because I'm a huge Friends fan. And it's like such a, like, I don't know, such a nostalgic show now that it feels like, I can't believe it's been off air for almost 20 years. That was crazy.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah. I feel like it's just, I remember seeing it Thursday night on NBC. Like, I feel like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So tell us where you can find you online.
Find me everywhere pretty much as Avery Flynn on Instagram, on Facebook. I've got a reader group called Flynnbot. I have a really fun newsletter. which is at averyflynn.com/newsletter. I always do book recommendations in there. There's a weekly giveaway in there that's also on my Facebook page. And then I have free read in there. So it's really fun.
Yeah. And I am Tracy Wolf on Twitter and on Facebook. I also have a Facebook group. It's called The Wolf Pack. They named themselves many years ago and it's called The Wolf Pack. And so you can find me there. I hang out there as often as I can. And my website is Tracy Wolf Author. And on Instagram, I'm Tracy Wolf Books. And I have a newsletter too, but I'm terrible at it. So
I love this so much. Thank you, Avery. Thank you, Tracy, for being on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having us. It was so much fun.
Yes.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.